Our world is in need of a revival. If our world is to be a better world, we need a revival. If our churches are to be better churches, we need a revival. But not a revival that man plans, but a revival that God plans. What does a revival that God plans look like? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages on the book of Jonah. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes a look in the book.
Would you stand to your feet this morning and open with me to the third chapter of the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. Amen. Amen. Jonah chapter 3. I want to look at that chapter in its entirety. It's just 10 verses. But I want to read the first 5 verses, and that'll be enough to get us started. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." For your consideration this morning, I want you to think on the subject, a revival that God planned. A revival that God planned. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, go and talk about a revival that God planned. A revival that God planned. Man will experience a revival from God, a man will experience the judgment of God. If our world is to be a better world, we must have a revival from God. If our city is to be a better city, we must have a revival from God. If our homes are to be better homes, we must have a revival from God. If we are, as a people, are to be a better people, we must have a revival that comes from God. I'm not talking about a revival that is planned by man. I'm talking about a revival that is planned out by God. A revival that is planned out by man is usually a committee will come together. And they will look at their calendar and see what time of the year would be the best time to have a revival. They may pick out a week in the spring of the year, 7 nights or 3 nights in the spring of the year, and they will call that a spring revival. Or they will pick out 7 nights or 3 nights in the summertime and in order to have their religious meetings, and they would call that our summer revival. Or they would pick out sometime in the fall of the year, 7 nights or 3 nights, and they would call that the fall revival. But most of the time, those revivals are basically something to do. We often even say, if you don't have nothing to do, come on over to the church this week, because we are having a revival. And most of the revivals are set up in such a way that they are entertaining sinners. It's just a good week of entertainment. It's a good week to hear some good singing and some good praying and some good preaching. And for the most part, people go back home after hearing that good singing and preaching and do business as usual. Even though they have had a week of revival. And most of the time, the reason that the revival don't work out, that we don't see folks getting saved and folks rededicating their lives to the Lord, is because it's a meeting, a religious meeting that we have planned. We don't need no more meetings that man has planned. We don't need no more religious meetings that start and originate from man. We need to have a meeting that starts with God. Amen. We need a revival. What is that? What do I mean when I talk about a revival? Webster Dictionary defines a revival as something that brings back to life. Or something that brings back to restoration. Or bring back to some usefulness. The problem with our world is our world, man done lost his usefulness. I heard a little parable that I want to share with you this morning about some aliens on another planet. They was in conversation. And the aliens, they was talking, and as they was talking, one of the little aliens said, "What is God like?" None of the aliens knew what God was like, but there was an old alien that was around, and the old alien said, "Well, if you want to know what God is like, then you have to go and look at man, because man was made in the image and in the likeness of God. So if you want to know what God is like, you just got to look at man." The alien said, "Well, where can I find a man?" He said, "You got to go to planet Earth. Man stay on planet Earth." He says, the little alien said, "Well, why don't we just build a spaceship then and jump in the spaceship and go down to planet Earth and see what God looks like by looking at man." So all the aliens thought that this was a good idea. They say, "Yeah, let us build a spaceship and let's jump in the spaceship and go down to Earth and see what God is like by looking at man." And so they built him a spaceship. After they got the spaceship built, all of them jumped in the spaceship and they flew down here to Earth and they began to go over various cities here on the Earth. And they began to look at the life of man. And they began to see how the rich folks was mistreating the poor folks. They began to see how man was stealing from one another. And man was killing one another. Man was cursing each other out and fussing and fighting against one another. and saw how children was disrespecting their parents and how parents was aborting their children and how everybody in society just seemed to be hating on one another. They saw how some folk were staying in big houses and other folks didn't even have a house to stay in. Our folks was laying out there on the street. Some was drunk and some had used drugs and they were staggering up and down the streets. And there was gangbangers that was terrorizing neighborhoods. And folks was dressing like thugs and dressing like hoodlums. And so after the little alien had saw all of this, he says, ooh. He said, can we go home now? He said, because if God look anything like man, I don't want to meet him. The problem with our world today is man has lost his usefulness. God created man to look like God. But when we look at our world, man don't look like God. Man is drinking, man is drugging, man is killing, man is stealing, man is hating on one another. In other words, man look more like the devil than looking like God. As a result, he done lost his usefulness. In order for man to come back to usefulness, he's going to have a revival. For when anything loses usefulness, you got to throw it away. And when man loses usefulness, there's one or two things that God will do to that society. Either God will judge that society or God will bring forth a revival. When we look here at our text, we look at the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a city that had lost its usefulness. God couldn't use those folks there at Nineveh because they were stealing from one another. They was killing one another. They was hating on one another. They was raping one another. They was cheating on one another. God says, I can't use them anymore. As a result, I'm going to either have to judge them or I'm going to have to send forth a revival. And that's what God did. God says, I'm going to send a revival there to Nineveh. What does a revival that God planned look like? I say, what does a revival that God planned, what do it look like? Can I give you three things this morning? A revival that God planned, the preacher will change. Did you hear what I said? A revival that God planned. The preacher will change. We see this right here in the first couple of verses of the text here. God tells Jonah the second time. Why? Because he didn't obey God the first time. And you remember the story. God had told Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah took a boat and he went in the opposite direction. But because Jonah got involved in a storm, God sent a storm, and because Jonah ended up in the belly and the stomach of the fish, then Jonah now done changed his mind. He's coming out of that fish now. Now he's going on to Nineveh. See, when God sends revival, he began with the preacher. And the preacher must change in order for revival to come to town. Jonah had to go from being a disobedient preacher to being an obedient preacher. All the Bible says here, so Jonah, verse 2-3, Jonah arose and he went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. In other words, it would take you 3 days to walk from one end of Nineveh across to the other. But the Bible says in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Notice. Jonah here, he went to Nineveh. He was obedient to God. And the Bible says he was not a procrastinating man either. Because the Bible says when he first got there, he started preaching from day one. You know, most of the time when man create a revival, we have a certain time that the revival starts. The revival going to start Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're going to run a three-night revival Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, and we're going to start it at 7 o'clock. And hopefully, we're going to have the preacher up to start preaching by 8 o'clock, and hopefully, we can get out by 9 o'clock. Jonah, he wasn't following man's schedule. When Jonah first set a foot right there in Nineveh, he preached an 8-word sermon. Just 8 words. Count the words. Yet, 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. That's the message. I'm going on. I got to go a little bit further. Y'all done heard it. That's it. Don't ask me to explain it. That's it right there. 40 days. Can you count 40 days? God said, that's it. Time is up. 40 days, and it's all over with. The walls coming down. These big old walls, that's 100 feet high. That's a 3 lanes on the top. You can get 3 chariots to go around these walls, on top of these walls. These walls going to come down 40 days. Your pretty houses, it's coming down 40 days. These palaces, it's coming down 40 days. Judgment is coming to this city in 40 days. Jonah didn't procrastinate. The first day he got there, he began to preach this 8-word sermon, and the word got out over the whole city. Why is that? Because bad news travel fast. Oh, yeah. And notice, Jonah was not ashamed. He was an unashamed preacher. Most preachers would have been ashamed to preach this message here, because this is a message of wrath. It's a message of judgment. Oh, this was not one of these lit sugar and spice and everything nice messages that folks like to hear today. Folks like to hear a sugar and spice and everything nice kind of message. Pastor, ain't you got some sugar and spice and everything nice kind of messages? And don't you have some name it and claim it kind of messages? Don't you have some blab it and grab it kind of messages? That's what folks want to hear today. And the problem is, that's what a lot of preachers are doing today. And that's why we can't have a revival, because the preacher won't change, because he's ashamed to tell what thus done said the Lord. Jonah was not ashamed. Even though Jonah had just gotten out to fish and he didn't have no new clothes on, he was unashamed. Even though he didn't come riding up in a chariot, he was not ashamed. Even though he didn't have a large entourage of folks before him and beside him and behind him, he was not ashamed. Even though they didn't even send for Jonah, Jonah was not ashamed. He just came as a delivery boy delivering the word of God. And he delivered in an unashamed way. If we're going to have revival, then the preacher must change. Last November, as I began to get into data about the church and began to start planning out what we was going to do next year, as I began to look at the data and began to examine the data just didn't match up. We had taken in November 125 people. But Sunday morning attendance didn't change. Sunday school attendance didn't change. I said, let me look at the tithes. The tithes didn't change. I looked at the choir, and the choir was going down. I looked at the usher board. No new ushers. I looked at the various other ministries. Very little change. Not growing. When something is not growing, it's dying. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, things need to change. I said, but the only thing I know that can change things is the word of God. And God says to challenge them in the word. I said, you know, Lord, they really just need to read the whole Bible. Say, challenge them to read the whole Bible. I said, Lord, ain't nobody in them going to jump on board with nothing like that. Because we even got preachers that don't read their Bibles. We got deacons that have never read the whole Bible. We got choir members that ain't read the Bible. We got ushers that ain't never read the Bible. Lord, what am I going to look like going and telling the church, the whole church, read the Bible? I said, I don't even know how to do that. God said, I'm going to give it to you. I was praying and asking the Lord. And one Sunday night, I came home after having good church here at Bible Way. Went there and I began to watch a little television. As I was watching a little television, I was watching this show, Amazing Race. And I saw how these people, they was excited, these partners and stuff. They was excited about running from one city to the next city, and they was finding different clues and stuff, and they was trying to win this race. I said, oh, wouldn't it be exciting, Lord, if people would get into the Bible just like them people is in that race, if they could just get into the Bible and race their way through the Bible. God said, challenge them. That's it. That's it right there. Start the amazing race. January 1st, start the race. I said, oh, no, Lord. He said, start the race. Do what I tell you. You see change take place. And then challenge them to get in Sunday school. I said, oh, you're going too far now, Lord. We're putting too much. We're loading the wagon now. He said, no, no. Challenge them to go to Sunday school. You done been there 20 years, and you have never challenged them to read their Bible. You done been there 20 years, and you ain't really challenged them to go to Sunday school. Now it's time that you challenge them to go to Sunday school. I said, Lord, that's a hard task right there, because people feel like Sunday school is for little children. When you start asking adults to go to Sunday school, I used to do that. I done graduated from that. I'm bigger than that. That's like sending me back to kindergarten. I don't need to go to kindergarten. I just come to 11 o'clock service. God said, challenge them. Because except a person become like a child, they can't enter into the kingdom. Right. Challenge. December, I started challenging you about the amazing race and challenging you about Sunday school. January 1st, God done something that I had never seen before. God sent a revival. I thought change was going to take place around November, December. But January 1st, we had more people in Sunday school than we have ever had in 20 years here at Bible Way. And it ain't no fluke. Sunday school has tripled. All because God done sent a revival. And for 7 weeks, going on 8 weeks, God has sent a revival here. Down from glory,
many things you were on earth. If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766, or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.